Okay, we got a lot of like bachelor news we can go over because this is kind of another one, kind of thin, but kind of, you know, like the chock full stuff was there, but then there was also a lot of like, oh, well, it's the same scene over again. Here we
go again.
That's
how I was going to start. Maybe you just started for us because I was going to say we could either talk about the episode or we could talk about all the bachelor news for an hour.
No, I mean there's definitely a lot of like big things that happen, but they're just kind of they're less than normal. I have three things, right? I mean, Clayton, well, Brandon,
Blake.
And uh-huh. Yeah, that's what
Beard,
I'm saying.
Bad Beard Blake just came out like an hour ago and said that he didn't apparently he was on a podcast hosted by.
Wait, are you recording this? Are you?
Yes.
Are we starting the podcast?
Yes.
You started
it for us.
Okay.
He was on the podcast of Dr. whatever his name is.
Drew Pinsky?
No.
Oh, was it Dr. Lovegrove?
No, from the show.
Dr. Laura?
Wait, Dr. Joe?
I guess. Dr.
Joe podcast?
And then who's the other guy? I just read this. I should remember, but I don't.
Craig, old me and brain.
Yeah. Anyway, he said on the podcast that he thinks that Katie emotionally cheated on him with her new beau, John.
Yeah.
And he probably allowed it to happen because he wasn't. Yeah, I guess I'm paraphrasing, but he wasn't keeping her from being emotionally attached to John or something. Something very like manly.
Yeah.
Possessive.
Yeah. I like that. Katie. she goes from totally, you know, Blake is such a either you pretend to, you know, you're madly in love with him or you totally despise his stupid face.
Yeah.
He has that effect on people, right? Like you, Craig, totally want to punch his stupid face.
Yes.
But some people, you know, when you love him, and then you could totally hate him.
Yes, you're Bad Beard Blake.
You're not going to be amicably separated for long.
I thought you were going to say that Craig has that characteristic of either being loved or despised.
Yeah, that actually does follow me around a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
hey, don't laugh so hard.
I'm just thinking back to all your great stories.
Oh, right. Okay.
I guess it's not as much bachelor news as we thought. That's it, right?
I don't know. So anyway, yep. Katie's with this guy, John, from her season.
Yeah.
And a month after she broke up. And everyone's going off on this, like, Instagram story thing she did where she posted all it was. People are making a big deal out of nothing, Caitlin. All it is
I was
her
not
posting Taylor
this.
Swift songs with pictures of her contestants. It's
Taylor
like,
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. That's it. That's all it is.
I find it funny that the story I just read and sent to you said that, like, so yeah, she picked 12 guys from her season and she did like Taylor Swift songs about them. And apparently after she posted about Thomas, Becca unfollowed her. I just found that very funny because, like, you were saying, like, looking at it, it obviously seems like she's not serious. And several of the guys, when asked about it, seemed to not be in any way offended. Like, they were like, yeah, it's obviously, like, a joking around thing. But I guess some people were offended. And I will say, I think that Blake is probably correct that Katie was emotionally cheating on him. Because here's my, when you sent that message to us, I don't know, was it like 2 days ago or something? I can't remember, announcing her new boyfriend. I was like, I knew she was dating this guy because I follow her on Instagram and she posts him like all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Literally all the time. And it's always like, this is my very good friend, John, who I just hang out with 24/7.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, there's always been something that's been a little, I suspect that she was hanging out with him and having a crush on him before she actually broke up with Blake is what I assume happened there. Plus the whole, that guy lives in San Diego and then she moved to San Diego and was like, oh, this was supposed to be a temporary move. I guess it's permanent. And I was like, I don't know. Something about this tells me that, like, you wanted to move there to be close to your cool new friend, John.
This this goes back to my awesome, whenever things are just going badly for any, especially the bachelorettes, the solution is to just bring back night one or night two cuts, because you don't know who you're missing out on. And that is always my, like, wipe the slate clean, start over attitude when we get too deep into kind of this nowhere land.
Why was the strong guy a night one cut?
Night two.
He's night two. Yeah, I remember him because he was barely on the show, but I remember thinking he seemed cute.
I remember his face because I wanted to punch it.
Well, Craig.
I remember his face because he's unique looking, but I don't trust this whole, you know, you're a bartender that wants to do something else.
You
probably make pretty good money as a bartender.
Well, he's training to be a pilot or something.
Yeah.
Huh. Bachelor World News.
Oh.
We do?
Well, so, you know, Zach and Tayshia broke up.
Oh, right.
The news I was hearing about this, like, the gossip was that the marathon is probably what drove them to breaking up, the marathon they did together recently. Because apparently the rumors are that Tayshia didn't really train for it enough, and then Zach was like pushing her to go super fast because he wanted them to get a good time, and was like kind of yelling at her during it, according to some
reports.
And then apparently she got hospitalized afterwards for just like,
this is like the Amazing Race,
messing up her body for like not being ready for this at all.
Wow, really? Where'd you read that?
Oh god, I'm trying to remember where I read this.
I mean, it doesn't matter, but
I'm forgetting. But I was like, huh.
That's good. I like that.
That would
seem like the kind of guy that would yell at you for anything.
Come on, hurry.
Like, he'd be super competitive about getting a good marathon time and yell at you over it. Like, I could see him doing that.
It's part of his, like, recovery to always be, now look at me now. People said when I was an alcoholic, I would never run a marathon. You know, there's all this, like, baggage that comes with dating him at all times.
Yeah, and I could also see if you were in Tayshia's shoes in that circumstance and your partner yelled at you during a marathon and you had to push yourself so hard that you were actually sick afterwards, that you would probably want to dump them.
That's horrible. I would just dump them right before they push you so hard.
Mid-marathon, he's like, yeah.
I would just not run a marathon. How about that?
It seems weird for, it doesn't seem natural at all. Like, that's not something the first humans ever did, you know, run for 20 miles straight. Like, that's not, sprints are natural.
I don't like it.
Yeah, but the guy had to run 26 miles to deliver the message. Don't you know the story?
But we have, like, we have better methods now to deliver messages. So the thing that's turned me against marathons, and actually my ex ran marathons, and I was like, that's cool if that's a thing you want to do. I feel like human bodies are not meant to do this, as illustrated by the fact that marathon people would be like, oh yeah, I shit myself during a race. That's normal.
Yeah.
You're like, not normal.
The things they do to their bodies to prepare and the consequences of seem like, oh, this is not natural. This is not something you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't think it's good for your body at all.
Yeah. And then is that it? Because we got a lot. We do have some. Enough. A lot.
Well, hold on. So we got Tayshia and Zach breaking up. We got Katie dating John. Is there anything else? Bachelor
not
news.
Really, except that Hannah's book is gonna come
out. Oh right, yeah.
And says Peter's she's just all over the place with how good certain times of sex are and this
right.
and that.
So it's like, she said
you're not gonna go into detail. Don't give me that kind of super subjective, you know, piece of information.
She said that Peter was better in bed than Jed. But she said that when Peter and her hooked up again, it wasn't any good.
Yeah, but you know what's an even more interesting tidbit than all of that? Because like I said, if I don't have actual details, like Sex and the City details, and I'm not interested, is that she actually explained what we've been trying to say all along, that Tyler Cameron is like a bad dude. because he did kind of cheat on her with Gigi Hadid. When she did go to that quarantine house thing, he ignored her the whole time. And when she tried to get back together with him, there was a lot of, you know, he never was in it for her the way he claimed to have been, has claimed he was. Tyler is just, I mean, he is, he was using the Bachelorette as a platform, and it worked, and he's, you know, beloved. And she's saying that he hurt her.
Right. Yeah.
I gotta say, from all of that, one thing that popped into my mind the moment I saw the thing about her saying, like, Jed wasn't good at sex, is if that guy wasn't even good in bed, why on earth did she pick it? Like,
right, what? Yeah, you have a you have a chance to test drive the merchandise.
He wrote her a song. That's it.
He wrote her a really great dog food jingle. So I guess that's what gets
once your mind is made up that you want to be the wife of a Nashville musician, I think you can get away with a lot, you know? Or like, let a lot go, weird. I should say.
Because I feel like at that point, right, so her top three were Peter, Tyler, and Jed. And we know that she had sex with two of them, but not Tyler. If out of those two, one was good and one was not good at all, and then the other one, she was like, we didn't have sex, but I felt emotionally close to him. Wouldn't you just eliminate Jed and go with, like, Peter and Tyler as your top two?
It makes more sense to me. Like, her and Jed seem to have the same kind of stupid values. You know, the whole, like, Nashville Southern thing. And Peter is different. Like, Peter has his own...
He's not Southern.
He's not Southern. He's not... They don't seem right for each other, regardless. I think it makes sense to me in that way. Okay. Now.
Where's Jed? Jed's dead, baby. Jed's dead.
We only know that line because it was on the CD, you know.
What, the music CD?
Yeah, the music CD had, for some reason, these cutouts of the script as if they were meaningful at all.
Like, the Pulp Fiction CD had quotes from the movie?
Had that quote specifically.
And that's why I know the quote?
Yes, that is why you know, subconsciously. Okay.
All right.
What other quote do you know from that movie? And I'll tell you if it's on the CD.
Another quote? Sure. A flock of seagulls. He calls the guy on the couch flock of seagulls because of his hair. And
so you don't know the quote?
He goes, you, flock of seagulls.
Everyone knows the way he recites that.
Yeah, you Bible know my name is the Lord.
Because blah, blah. Of the CD. Anyway.
We're watching the movie. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I think that they're only memorable to me because of that. Because a lot of that movie.
So you're projecting.
I don't get the hype about that movie.
You're projecting then.
Tell me the hype. Tell me you're why you're projecting it's so
because you got the lines from the CD. So now everyone gets a line from the CD. We've already argued about this movie.
We haven't.
It's a great movie, and it's rated like number one on IMDb. So it's got to be pretty good.
Why? Yeah.
It's a slice of life. People like slice of life.
It's
movies.
A slice of life that he has a soul in a briefcase.
Well, that's like the C plot. Did you not watch Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, that one's I think is way better, but I don't think they're
way better. How can Reservoir Dogs be way better?
Yeah, it makes more sense to me. It's like it actually makes sense. I don't get the whole.
You don't even see what they're trying to what they're robbing. In
I Reservoir haven't Dogs. Seen it in years, and I'm still kind of like meh, like. I don't know.
Pulp Fiction is a bunch of really interesting characters who are very well written and have very good dialogue going through an afternoon of illy.
I don't think you understand. Slice of life means like, you know, I go out and I walk my dog and I go to the store. That's murder.
Happens in these. Yeah, but this is. But you're getting a glimpse into their lives. Mm. a slice, if you will.
Not sure if it's used that way. Anyways, I'm not a fan. Okay.
But the whole scene with Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta at the beginning when they're in the dude's house, the Flock of Seagulls guy's house, and they're grilling the guy about stealing the briefcase, that's golden. It's one of the best written scenes ever of anything, book or film.
Dang, Quentin Tarantino, like, fanboys really are... I mean, I like the guy, Quentin Tarantino.
No, there's plenty of movies of his I don't like. His revisionist history films that he's been doing.
Yeah.
No way. Those are the only ones I like.
Oh, yeah. I hate them because they're so heavy-handed and they're so, like, ridiculous. Like, why? What's your interest in Sharon Tate? Like, I just... Like, you know, it's like he hates... This poor man, he needs an editor. He needs someone to bring him down to earth because he is out of control with what he's done.
Like horror? Have you watched From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah.
You didn't like that?
It's okay. I mean, I like Quentin Tarantino. I like some of his movies. Some of his bigger movies, I don't understand. I don't understand at all.
Pulp Fiction,
I like some characters.
Was amazing.
Oh.
And he spent a long time on it. He spent years on it. So I think it paid off because you really, every line of dialogue is so meticulously well placed. His other movies, you could say, aren't up to that level. And he's obsessed with paying homage to other film genres.
Yes. And see, that's another one. It
gets old.
Once you watch those other movies, you're like, this is a straight ripoff. He just ripped this off. He just ripped that off.
But
time
Django,
and time again.
Django Unchained is very, very good. I love that movie.
That's another kind of heavy-handed, like, come on, there's a white savior thing. There's like, it's just so, like, so much the same. And then he does the same formula, like, three times. anyway, I like some of his stuff. I like him. I don't hate him. I just think the fans are, a little bit too much for me. Okay.
Co-host Chris, what do you think of Pulp Fiction?
No, I don't even know where that is.
Oh man.
Oh, fine. Here.
Oblivion and a fulfilling existence.
There we go.
That makes no sense, Craig.
No, it does, because with this podcast, before Caitlin was on it, you know, and before Chris left, we'd spend a lot of time debating movies. Well, you and Chris would spend a lot of time debating movies. We haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, and I feel like he would tell me what the point of that movie was more than you have.
Well, he studied film writing at USC. I didn't. Okay. So he knows a little bit more about the topics than I do. I'm not a film nerd. I'm not, like, obsessed with films such that I can, like, spit out their...
Yeah, but when you're telling me a movie is, like, a masterpiece and you can't defend it...
But the people have spoken. It's like it's considered one of the, if not the best film of all time on certain ranking, if you go by certain rankings.
Why? I can tell you why Citizen Kane is there. I can tell you why. I can't tell you why this movie is. That's my point. Okay.
I just told you.
Because it's your cyclical logic. It's good because people say it's good. People say it's good.
No,
because
I say it's a slice
IMDb.
Of life of really well written, interesting
think
characters.
That's a lot of movies. I don't think that's not why it's number one. It's because of the murder thing and it's because of the soul thing. And I don't get it.
People like murder and they like souls. What can I say?
No.
See, Craig, I feel like you're not on the right track with the slice of life thing, because if I'm thinking slice of life, I'm thinking something like, have you ever seen Jean Dielman?
No.
So I watched this in a women in film class in undergrad, and it's like a movie, God, I think it's Belgian. I'm going to Google to double check, but it's like from the 50s or 60s. And it's basically like you follow 70s. Wow. I was wrong. It is a Belgian movie though. Basically, you follow the title character, a woman named Jean Dielman, and you go through her incredibly boring day. That's the whole thing. It's a slice of life.
Like Seinfeld is a slice of life.
Yeah, and that's what it's famous for, but it's not super enjoyable to watch, honestly.
But they're in the diner, which I've been to, by the way, in real life, and you they're eating and the place gets robbed. That's, it's just this, and the whole point is how cool they maintain their composure during the whole getting robbed scene. And then he bestows his burgeoning soulful spiritual guidance on the robbers, because he's able to do that, because he's at a period in his time in his life when he's reckoning with all of the stuff he's done in his past. That's really interesting.
Interesting. Okay. If you say so.
I'm gonna hear it from JNLA. I know that. He always DMs me something that's gonna tell me where I'm way off on this. So bring it, JNLA.
Okay, good, good. I'm sure I'm on the wrong side of everything on this movie.
Can't
I don't
you watch
care.
It on your, don't you have a big screen, like projector? It. Can't you watch Pulp Fiction?
I had the soundtrack. I just explained that. I like a lot of things about it. I just don't think it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. It doesn't really have a lot of rewatchability to me either. Okay.
Okay, so what would you replace it with on the list?
I don't have any number one. Everything that's number one, I'm like, why is The Godfather number one? I love that movie, but I don't love that. Like, I don't think it's actually
you
that good.
You love The Godfather?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with it. Well, it's the same kind of murder shit. It's the same murder stuff.
No, The Godfather is just criminally boring.
I'm telling you what the number ones are. And out of the number ones, no, I don't get many of them. I don't get why The Godfather's there. Citizen Kane, okay, I get it. Like, I like Hearst Castle stuff, whatever. What else? What else is number one? What else is on that? What's at the top?
Are you going to see the new Scream that's coming out? Or already is out?
That's
it already came out.
That's where you go?
No, are you going to see it? Or did you see it?
No, I don't like Scream. No.
I thought you like horror movies.
Not Scream is not. No, it's not a horror movie to me. That's not fun or interesting. Like Wes Craven, I don't like Scream at all. It's not really a horror movie. It's more like a suspense because there's not really supernatural elements. Stalker movie, Mark just said.
I'm looking up at IMDb what they say the best movie of all time.
Speaking of stalkers.
And these are horrible.
Wait, hold on. Just remember my segue here. It's brilliant. You just talked about stalker movies, and I said, speaking of stalkers, and that's a perfect segue to talk about Brandon. But we're not there yet, so all of our audience has to just remember that I made that linkage, and we'll come back to it.
Okay. Tell us what the top five are that we haven't mentioned, like some five that we haven't mentioned.
Go through the list, even if it includes Pulp Fiction.
Listen, I'm not reading all of these because it's the top 250 movies, so we're not
doing this. This is IMDb.
Tell us the top five.
Okay, this is IMDb. The number one movie is Shawshank Redemption.
Yes, Stephen King. What? Book.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Number
no
two
rewatchability
is The Godfather.
God, that movie's so bad.
Number three is The Godfather Part Two,
which is slightly less bad.
Number four, and this is like inexplicable to me. People love this movie, but I really don't.
Wait. Let me get guess. It. It's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
No, I actually like that movie, but I don't think it's one of the greatest movies of all time. It's enjoyable. It's The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Craig loves that movie.
This is
70% men.
Stop.
Doing this.
Because we've been over this. I do not love Dark Knight.
Oh, right.
I love Dark Knight Rises. We've been over this many times.
Right. And I never listen.
Sure. Number five is 12 Angry Men.
Oh, right. Jack Lemmon people in like a deciding.
Yeah.
Like a jury, right?
Jury. Yeah. These are all movies that are very, it's extremely male.
Yeah.
It's extremely like white guy taste.
So where's Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction is number eight.
Okay.
What's number 10?
Number 10 is The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. All right. See, but I wouldn't consider that the best of all time, but that's enjoyable. That has a lot of rewatchability. That has a lot of layers. That has a lot of good scenery. That's right. And I'll say I can't think of one good
scenery
everyone can agree on, like Forrest Gump. Like, is that the best?
Yeah, you think Forrest Gump would be on there. It probably is.
I'm going to Google. Hang on. I'm going to do like a control. Yeah, Forrest Gump is number 12.
Yeah, bigger. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
The thing I love about Forrest Gump is that...
Oh, my God.
No, this is what I love about Forrest Gump. It's like, you know, considered one of the greatest movies of all time, won the Academy Award. And yet, when you think of Robert Zemeckis, you still think of Back to the Future first.
I think of Castaway first.
It's like, if you're him, you got to be like, what can I do to make...
He's versatile.
He's versatile.
Okay. Go ahead with your linkage. I can't talk about movies. I'm not in the mindset to, and I don't have any, I don't want to watch.
You are on a movie podcast that is in direct competition with this podcast.
Not really.
For your time.
Yeah.
And level of the amount of time that you spend advertising the podcast, they're in competition.
Do you know how much my brain has to make a complete shift? If someone on that podcast said, what's going on in reality TV? I'd be like, I don't know. I only watched like half of one show. I don't know what's happening. Like, it's just, I can't talk about, you know, it's like a weird dream where your teacher is meeting your aunt and you're like, stop, this is not real. Like, go away.
Yeah. Did you do the episode? They just posted an episode. This is Matt's Movies Lodgecast.
Matt's Movie Lodgecast. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know what a lodge cast is, but that's what
it's like a cute gimmick. They have a lodge, and so Matt is the lodge master, and then we're all brothers and sisters. So I'm Sister ECR. There's Brother David, Brother Bishke, Brother Nate, etc.
Did you do the one that was just posted, the Clint Eastwood movie?
I did one. Yeah, I did. But yeah. I did not know that was going to happen. It happened kind of last minute. So I was kind of like not ready for it. See, there's a good example of me being absolutely not ready for that. Okay. Not ready.
Well, I'll give it a listen. I'll let you know what I think.
Don't let me know what you think.
Oh, okay. Okay, so my cool linkage was, hey, Brandon comes across like a stalker on his one-on-one date with Michelle and his parents. And that's a perfect segue because we were talking about stalker movies. See? That's that easy. So go ahead, play the clip.
Okay, I must preface this with saying that I cut this for a specific reason that I'll explain later. But it's basically the same information.
And I want to have the happiest marriage with her and have that last forever. But I'm an old soul and I will not marry your daughter unless I have your guys' blessing. So I was wondering, you know, later in time, if I'm still here, if you guys will allow me to be with your daughter.
If she's happy, and if she chooses and thinks you're the one, you have my blessing.
Yeah, we support Michelle's decision 100%. So, I mean.
What was all that? No.
No, I was muted during that, so I don't know what that noise was.
Yeah, there was this weird, like, it sounded like it came from the audio itself, like something shuffling around. I mean, that could be how the audio came. Weird.
Well, anyway, news flash to Brandon. He's not going to be the final one. But she did seem to like him, which total creeper vibes, man. Ugh.
So, Craig, I have a question, because whenever you kept on saying, you said this in text to us as well, that Brandon gives you stalker vibes. Here's the thing. I do think he is extremely overplaying his position here.
Yes.
But this isn't stalking what he's doing. He didn't, like, show up at her parents' house uninvited.
Okay, you know? Okay, okay. You're right. So it's because we were talking about stalker films that I use the word stalker, but the appropriate word is creeper. He's a creeper. Gives creeper vibes.
Yeah, I don't love... I've liked him mostly during the show so far. He just seemed like pretty normal and kind of sweet. But this move where they're at... This whole date was weird to begin with, right? Like, they go to her parents' house, but her parents aren't there, so he's not meeting them. Don't worry. And then he borrows a bathing suit from her dad, which is just like... I was like, okay, that's sort of weird, but I guess
there's a Seinfeld episode about that.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess
someone's bathing suit.
I get why they were like, well, if you want to go in the hot tub, but they could have also just had him bring a bathing suit. Like, there's no reason for this to really happen. But anyway, they're making out in the hot tub, and then her parents just arrive on the scene magically.
Her mic'd up parents.
Yeah, it's just a very weird. The whole thing was a weird concept of the date. Like, why not just actually bring him to meet her parents instead of having this like fake out? You won't meet them. Wait, you did. Moment was odd. But then when he goes into the, he wants to talk to them alone because he wants to get their blessing to propose to Michelle, which y'all know I hate when men ask for a blessing from parents. I hate it. I hate it so much. And obviously her parents do the like normal thing, which is to be like, well, if she chooses to marry you, then we would support her decision, which is like an extremely normal thing, instead of being like, no, I don't approve of you. You know what I mean? But it just felt very weird because it is so early, right? Like, he hadn't even gotten the rose yet, so he didn't know he was going to hometowns yet. So it just felt very like jumping the gun on this.
Yeah.
It seemed to me like Michelle's dad was kind of like, huh? When he was kind of like, I don't want to answer this question, but I guess I have to.
Yeah. Well, Brandon went full creeper twice. He went creeper then, like what you just described. And then was it later when he's at dinner with Michelle and he's like, you're really the greatest person I've ever met. It's like, whoa.
Something very fun about that dinner. Guess where they are having the dinner?
At the Natural at History Mills Museum. Thing.
Yes, it's at the mill that I kept on talking about, Easy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I brought up repeatedly that I love, it's called the Mill City Museum. And when they were there, I was like, hang on, I recognize this. It's the courtyard of the Mill City Museum.
Ah, there you go.
Well, look, Craig, I think what you mean is that he's a little bit too... No, it's not a creeper, though. That's different. I think he's just a little bit too eager to there, right? And that to you bothers.
No, it's if he had said those things to you just on a, I don't know, what's this? For the sake of argument, let's call this the third date he's had with her, even though that's a lie.
It is the second 101.
This is his second 101?
Yeah.
No.
Right?
No, it's his first.
What? I thought he had a 101. Like, he had the first 101.
No. Gosh, who had the first 101?
Well, Joe had the first. I feel like someone that we didn't expect had the first 101. I thought it was Brandon. Okay. No.
It was not Brandon. Like, he talked
just for the sake of argument.
Something a one-on-one.
Let's just say it's his third date. If he had said this to you, you would break up with him because it's like, whoa, he's a creeper.
Well, you know what? Michelle is really, this is my point, is that Michelle is too hungry for her two front runners. And he's also now, he's gotten there. He's now very eager. And I think this is one of the rare times I've seen where he's finally where she's at, and she's kind of like, oh, I can relax now, and I'm not going to freak out on him, you know, because he felt like a top three front runner, and now he feels like a distant third because of his eagerness. Like, it actually happened. I've rarely seen this.
So you're saying it's like, he's over-adjusting because he feels like he needs to catch up.
No, I feel like he is... just happens to like her too, and now she's like, whoa, or like she's kind of like, yeah, you know what, I do have a top two, and those top two are my top two. Like, I don't know, I feel like she's reevaluating because he's finally giving the attention back.
Well, he was giving it before, but now he's gone.
Well, but now it's like, nah, right.
The yeah attention.
But I mean, she was interested in him. Like, I felt like he was a tied for second kind of guy. Now he does feel like a distant third to me. you know, it's a little bit.
Let's just make it fourth because Rodney's in there.
Nope.
I think Rodney is fourth. I was honestly surprised that Rodney got the rose, even though I like Rodney. I think he seems like He's a little bit of comic relief. He seems legitimately like a nice person. I enjoy Rodney on this show. But I really thought she was going to pick Rick with that last one. Yeah, but yeah. Rodney's getting cut next week. I think there's no way, unless somebody has a
insane
thing happen on one of their hometown dates, he's gone.
See, I think she cuts Brandon and keeps Rodney to be the third sex-only pick.
It could be, but it also could be because, you know, once they like her, she might lose interest. That's kind of the point I was getting to. Wait a minute, but I gotta go back to the Brandon conversation, because I had cut that out too as an example for Bachelor Nation, the audience, to hear a version of good sexism, because everyone's against Martin's bad sexism, but the good kind you can cover up with saying you're an old soul.
Oh,
and
right.
All the niceties. Oh. Of
yes. Of,
you know what, if she decides, then of course, you know, saying of course, saying yes is still the same stuff. It's still sexist. Like, what's the, so this is kind of the point I was getting to last week, but this all ties in to me with Martin. this is honestly why I watch The Bachelor, for the deep American psyche analysis. Because Martin is, sure, he's immature, which is a universal trait, but being prideful is very much something white America hates. And they hate prideful people of color. I have no idea what race or anything he is, but he's something, right? on The Bachelor, the producers, love to find this kind of guy, because they will give him that overkill cut where his pridefulness directly,
we're talking gets about Martin here.
Yeah, Martin gets him eliminated, and he's yeah. someone who doesn't like, you know, he does, he gets his dignity stripped, and then he does this, you know, puffing up afterwards, obviously with someone he trusts in that car. Right. So after he leaves, right. He says
she's making a mistake, which she'll let her. She'll find out on her own that she made a mistake. But at this point, I wouldn't even care to give her a shot. It's sad. That's all it is. I feel sad for her.
Yeah. You know, there's a producer there that's like,
yes. Like... And, you know, right or wrong, these kinds of men are, I feel so bad for, like, I feel bad for Martin and for Yosef and for everyone, because they are more than just villains to people. They are that scary other, that kind of person that can take over, you know, if we let our guard down, if whoever lets our guards down is white Americans. And I think this is one of these things that The Bachelor, that people are talking about. These are the transgressions. These are the moments. And no one takes this into account. People just go, Martin's the red flag central. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's horrible. He's a sexist. And it was used to kick him out. But I think that these are these like microaggressions people are talking about too. You know, you have to hate this guy. Okay. But it's obviously rooted in something deeper. And that's where they really have to make this guy this horrible villain. And it's why, you know, well, think about you guys. Why do you hate him? Because he's a sexist, right?
No, I feel like the thing that I was shaking my head at in Martin this episode was, I guess, his lack of self-awareness in the comments, right? That he kept on saying stuff. He did this last week too, where it was like, well, Michelle made a mistake with communication, instead of being like, oh, we didn't understand each other or whatever. It was kind of always, he was never at fault for anything that happened.
Well, yeah, but that's what I said last week, was that, you know, he's just doesn't know how he comes off. And it's sad to me that he has not caught up to the rest of, you know, he hasn't caught up from the 90s to 2020 to not say something like, you're not like other girls.
Yeah,
but
and he's the thing where he brings up the poem that she read several weeks ago, and says, like, thinking about her high school trauma in the context of a poetry challenge means that she hasn't dealt with her issues and is immature. And, like, everyone's like, buddy, what? No.
See, no, here's the problem there. No one at either point, last week or this week, ever said to him, this is wrong. You are being a sexist in a bad way. Right? Because on The Bachelor, you can be a sexist in a good way. You can call yourself an old soul. and you're being a sexist and you're wrong and you're disrespecting her. No one said that. Not even Michelle. She did not say, that is not okay to say. Everyone just said, oh, I can use this against you. I can take you down. No, like, I didn't hear any actual helping this man out and helping him understand. So in that way, I also think it's cynical. I also think it's like in bad faith to only accuse him of sexism. And I can't get over the fact that I can't overlook the fact that this is done time after time to these kinds of men forever on The Bachelor.
So I want to talk about Clayton.
Well, yeah, but wait a minute. So are we, is that all about Martin? Because I'm sure you guys had something to say about Martin other than this.
I had him pegged right from the get-go before he said anything. I called him disgusting. So well, I feel vindicated.
Disgusting based on his facial hair?
Yeah, I have a thing about him for fashion when we get there. But otherwise, no, I have nothing else on Martin.
Okay, well, you know what? I just think it's worth noting do you two hate when people are prideful? Like, why is that a thing? Why do people, everyone's here in America, you have to be humble, prideful. You have to say, yeah, but, or you have to just say you're humble, prideful. You don't have to be humble, prideful. You just have to say it. And so this guy, I mean, he was doing the, I just got dumped, I'm reacting. And I bet he's hated, right? Like Twitter.
Yeah.
It's just like, look, I had this to say. You guys are welcome to have differing opinions. I'm not at all trying to lay down the law on this. I just think it's a point of interest that, these kinds of men are always the villains. Always, always, always. Have you ever seen this kind of man not be the villain? Can you show me an example of a time they're not?
Well,
you
know? His haircut and the way he presented himself didn't help.
Well, don't worry about that. I mean, that's not really the point. I think anyone can have their hair styled that way. It has little to do with how he acts. You know, it's not like indicative of anything.
Frankly, I like the hair and the eyebrows.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
We know where I stand on that.
What if he has a friend that's like a barber? I mean, he's not like outgrown the look. You know, it's not like it looks always cut and styled correctly, at least to what he wants. Isn't that weird? Also, maybe he was a barber. Okay, wait. Okay, one more thing then. Forget, if you guys have nothing to say about it now, fine. I just think it's interesting. I know he's hated. I know he's going to come back and he's going to double down.
Yeah, and he'll be a superstar on Bachelor in Paradise.
You never know. But, I mean, no, I don't think that. He might, but I do think he's going to come back and double down because that's the only way people like this know how to react. Mm-hmm. It hurts them, you know, and they don't know how to act hurt because that's a sign of weakness. And that's a huge point of contention. I mean, that's why a lot of people don't get along in America. That's why a lot of immigrants don't feel at home. You know, there's a certain kind of immigrant that fits in great here, like if you're British or if you're Canadian. And then if you're not, you're kind of like, well, you know, I hope my culture lines up with your culture, and it rarely does. Anyway, okay, fine. Don't say anything about Martin. But here's something weird that happened that no one talked about. Nate said, my dad told me to never bring anyone home. And there is no follow-up on this conversation. It's like half of a red flag and half of like a wait, why? Like, just a point of curiosity. And I can't, I would have so many questions. Like, what does that mean? I can't wait to meet his dad next week.
Yeah, his family's going to be interesting, I think, because of that comment. But I also didn't find it that weird just because I have only ever introduced two people I've dated to my family because I'm always like, listen, I keep this separate. You don't need to deal with my family. that's a thing that I do. It has nothing to do with you, my significant other.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was totally strange to, I would never bring a boyfriend over. I mean, I would just be like, here's my friend. There would never be this PDA filled weird, like what they do on The Bachelor. It always freaks me out, you know, hugging in front of them or whatever the hell Brandon did. But, you know, they're kissing in a hot tub, like, oh, that's kind of weird. But for a parent to tell a kid, do not bring so girls you're dating around.
Do your parents still think Mark's a friend?
No, I mean, but I mean, there's no, like, there was never any, ever any, it's so embarrassing to, for me, to have any kind of discussion about who is this, you know, what are their intentions? Are you guys going to get married? Like, none of that. No.
My gosh.
I get that.
I hate that kind of stuff. Like, just remember when my last ex met my family, it was because, I feel like I talked about this a little bit before on the podcast ages ago, I think, but he wanted to meet them. Like, I was like, okay, you want to do that? I mean, I guess we can make that happen. And it went well. Like, they all really liked him, but I just remember feeling so annoyed that, like, at the end of the night when we're getting ready to, like, leave this dinner that we were at this restaurant, my mom said something to him about, like, you know, take good care of Caitlin. And I was like, how dare you? I take care of myself. Yeah, I just, like, found it so weird. I hate when family does that. Like, and my sister said all this stuff about, like, when we broke up, she was like, oh no, I really thought you were going to marry him. And I was like, I never said that I was going to do that. So why would you think that?
Whoa. That's heavy.
Okay. Well, yeah, the Nate comment was weird. Hopefully we'll get some closure on that next week. Huh? What?
That I don't care. I can meet anyone. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you could bring, like, a one-night stand home or, like, your wife, and your parents would be like, whatever.
Well.
Right? Am I right?
Parents, because I only have one parent these days. But, yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's just something very, very uncomfortable to me. I mean, it's like watching a sex scene with your parent, you know? So I've always had that. And so I want follow up still. Okay. We have to talk about Clayton.
Yes.
Yes. So
about Clayton.
Caitlin, take it away with Clayton.
So we obviously could tell very early on in this episode that this was going to be Clayton's star turn. His time to finally get attention as the future bachelor. First they have, like, kids from Michelle's class, and it's very kids say the darndest things, kind of, you know, like, oh, he's got such big muscles. He makes the best forts. Do you fart in front of Michelle? Like, that kind of stuff. But anyway, he gets the one-on-one, which supposedly these children have planned, and they go to a natural history museum and, like, play tag and make up a mating dance, et cetera, et cetera. whole thing. And the date seems fun from what we can tell, but then they get to the dinner portion and she does not give him the rose, which means he leaves at number 8 in the game, just fairly low.
For those keeping track.
Yes, for those keeping track. He is exited. He's number 8.
Wait, do you do a bachelor bracket thing?
No, I don't, but I just know that normally the leads make it a little bit further than this. Like, Katie was lower than he was. She was, what, like 10 or 11?
Normally, I mean, recently they've been in this kind of middle ground.
Yeah. So he's at number 8, and then he gets this incredibly weird special exit where he says that it happens. Yeah. But he gets a letter from the students, I guess several letters from all of the students. He reads, like, at least 2 of them. And obviously at this point we know that he's already been picked as the bachelor when they're filming this. Or they assume they're going to pick him, because otherwise why would they have this weird scene where he reads these letters from students that are like, I love you, Clayton. I can't wait for you to find a wife. I want to go to your wedding someday. It's very weird.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of the show, after the credits and previews, he gets the post-credit sequence. Easier, did you see this?
Yes.
Oh, I always turn off the post-credit sequence.
Well, oh,
it's
no.
Important, Craig. It's very important this important. Time. It's one of the students, and she's talking about how much she loves Clayton so much and really wants him to find happiness, etc. And then, like, what's next for Clayton? And she says, I think he's going to be the next Bachelor.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Which was a Fed line, I'm sure.
Yes, right? Absolutely was. But this is, I guess, how they're quietly officially doing the announcement that they've never, even though everyone knows, but they have not officially confirmed it. So this is them, like, winking at you, I think, to be like, we all know, wink, 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 we know.
Okay, so let me just ask a question to both of you. There's two options here, right? We're either really cynical about Clayton's star moment, or producers are proving their point. He is sincere.
Well... by way of not answering that, I'm going to talk about something I brought up over the years, which is...
Oh, my goodness. You have to answer this. We can't continue.
Well, it might answer. It's to say that the producers are always right. That's a theme I've brought up many, many times, which is to say that whether or not we think decisions they make are good or bad or irrelevant, they always make the right decision. And that's evident in the ratings that the show gets. Like, if they didn't make the right decisions, then they wouldn't get ratings.
Right.
But the ratings, yeah, exactly. I was just going to say the ratings are starting to slip. So maybe they're not making the great decisions anymore. Maybe this is one of those not great decisions. Maybe this is like.
But the ratings for his season aren't in.
Well, no. The ratings for The Bachelor, Bachelorette as a whole are down.
People actually watch seasons and don't watch seasons, you know? So I think it's contingent on what he's doing. Okay, that's your non-answer answer.
My answer is that the producers are always right, and so this is just another. So, like, if half of us are like, "What the hell did we just watch? Like, what was that?" Then the other half are like, "Oh my god, this is so great! I can't wait for
The Bachelor." Wait, I have a question. Are you trying to get out of like? Are you trying to make sure that people on Twitter don't come after you?
No. In fact, I tweeted a picture of Clayton reading one of the letters, and I said, what is going on here? And it got more likes than most of my tweets ever get.
Yeah, I know, I saw that someone wrote...
Yeah, someone wrote, like, hey, like, this is, hey, I think it's that's actually not pretty cool, good. Kind of yeah, thing. He's being sincere, and I wrote back, yeah, it's a fair point.
Okay.
I wasn't deflecting anything.
Right, that, like, to me... I don't think he is necessarily being fake. Like, I think he is an extremely boring person because even his starring turn was like the only semi-interesting thing is when he cried at the students' letters and was like, I want children so bad, right? Okay.
I have this star-making clip right here because I felt like this was their strategy that the Bachelor producers are banking on, this performance. This is it. We better buy this. Because if we don't, no matter what they've already decided, they still want us on their side, right? About him being the Bachelor. So here is what I feel is like, you know, condensed down to one moment is how they decided to make him the Bachelor and sell us on him being the Bachelor.
Okay. And
that just shows me, like, I want kids one day. Like, I want... I just want to find love so badly and have a family and start that chapter of my life. I want it more than anything else. And I'll do whatever it takes to get that. Whatever it takes.
Poor guy.
Okay, now play the evil child giggle.
Now, Caitlin, you have to leave soon, so do you want to go first here?
Yeah, I do have to get out of here soon. So, I don't think he's, like, lying. I do think he is one of those type of people who seems like he does want to settle down and have kids and things like that, right? I just don't think he's fundamentally, like, good on TV, necessarily. Like, he's not interesting and he's not charismatic enough to be a sort of normal lead. He is very bland. And what I assume the producers are trying to do here is that, like, he's a blank slate that they can shape around in any way, because they don't have to worry about his actual personality and preferences. He has none. You know? So, his basic thing is, he's like, I'm a tall, muscly guy who used to play football, who loves kids and my family and God and America. Right. And, like, that's it. There's nothing else there. So, yeah, I just think, like, it's not that I think he's, like, lying about any of that. I don't think that he's being insincere. I just think it's not interesting.
I am going to go cynical here. I think he's a meathead like a fox. He saw an opportunity and he took it. Yeah. And he, you know, they were lobbing him softballs and he was taking every single opportunity, you know, oh, a bunch of kids, let's get them on my side. Or they told him, build a fort. They told him, get all these kids to give you a natural reaction. You know, do what they say and, you know, be a kid's friend, which is not really right. Hard. You just got to show some interest. And he knew it was his star-making moment because, to be real, you know, everyone wants to be the Bachelor. He is, like we said, you know, the Iowas and the Middle Americas, are their viewership is much greener than ours. So they want this kind of guy. And it's not fair because they feel, the Bachelor producers feel like they've done their due diligence with what they're supposed to do to appease all the calls for every other kind of Bachelor they could have. And now they're back to what they want to do.
Right.
So Clayton is irrelevant to me in this conversation. My conversation is with the bigger picture. And I think he's smarter than we're giving him credit for. So I have a lot of reservations about someone that's that much an opportunist.
Caitlin, final thoughts, and then I guess me and Easier can wrap up the podcast. Did we already lose Caitlin?
No, I'm here. Sorry.
Oh, okay. She's already left.
I mean, I only had a quick few fashion things if we want to share those for a moment before I leave.
Sure.
Sure. Wait, so is that it with the Clayton? So we're kind of like split down the middle, right? He's sincere. It doesn't matter that he's sincere because the producers know what they're doing, and I'm kind of I'm taking the cynical route.
I think so. Yeah, no, okay. This is good. Yeah. We're all kind of like
it. And we'll see what I keep talking over you, Craig. We'll see what he turns out to be like, I guess, on his actual season and what it is.
Yeah. I couldn't really play. Hold on. Yeah. It was very loud in that planetarium, but they thought they were being so cute saying Mr. and Mrs. Young like three times.
Try it again.
Oh, here.
Hi, Miss Young and future Mr. Young.
The weird laugh is what made me be like, oh my god, it was just such a weird
that's funny.
That child's laugh sounded so sinister.
That's funny. Okay, fashion. So go ahead. There was a point where Tayshia and Caitlin Bristowe and Michelle were all lined up, and Tayshia was wearing a gold dress, shiny gold dress, and Caitlin was wearing a shiny silver dress, and Michelle was wearing a shiny red dress. It was at the end. It was during the cocktail, cocktail party into the rose ceremony. It was pretty cool.
So, Craig, you missed something there, which is important to me, is that so both Caitlin and Tayshia's dresses are sequin and shiny, right? Uh-huh. But Caitlin's is not silver. It's leopard print.
Oh, yeah, I think I missed that.
It's a little subtle. You have to get close in on there. But this is a theme for this episode, because not only did Caitlin wear a sequin leopard print dress at the rose ceremony, Martin's sneakers on the group date at the farm have leopard print soles on them.
Martin wow. sneakers. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. That guy's so fashionable. I seriously thought to myself, who are you talking about? Oh, my God.
We just
talked about him for so long.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, he was wearing, they were like regular athletic sneakers, but the sole, instead of being like white or black or whatever, was leopard print. And I thought that was an interesting, I personally love leopard print. So.
Well, you like Martin, so.
Yeah, I, listen, I can't help the things that I'm drawn to.
That's funny. And you do like leopard print, so there you go.
I love leopard print. I love over-the-top gaudy looks. That's my thing.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you watch the ice skating on, what was it, Saturday?
Oh, I'm trying to remember which one. So I have DVR.
It was from Paris.
Yes, they're in the French International. This is during the beginning of the skating season. If they have these international competitions, there's six of them. And then the top six placement, like the people who place the best across, everyone's in like two usually, get to go to what they call the Grand Prix Final, which is sort of the preview for the Olympic Games.
I see.
So you go to that if you're one of the people most likely to medal at the Olympic Games. Cool. So I've been watching them, but I've also been like basically DVRing them and then watching them later.
I see. Well, I don't want to distract from our task at hand here. I watched a little bit of it and I thought of you.
Oh, nice. So yeah, let me see what else I have written down for fashion. I wrote down a description of Michelle's father's swim trunks, if we needed that, just in case it'd be important.
Yeah, someone tweeted, like, is it true that guys don't wear anything under the suit, so that if you borrow a suit from your dad or whatever, you're sharing the same space, if you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I replied, yep.
Yeah, there's like a little netting inside the men's bathing suits.
Yeah, that's kind of gone away though with like, I don't know if those are board shorts or swim trunks, but yeah, that netting has kind of gone away, I think.
They were a little longish. They were like some sort of, I wrote trunk, but they could also be board shorts. It's an interesting move to put her in the dad's swimwear.
Yeah, really strange.
That other fashion thing related to Brandon, which we didn't talk about in our thing, was he gives Michelle that bracelet that apparently his mom made for him. And he says that this bracelet symbolizes that his mom said he could give this bracelet to Michelle if he thinks Michelle is the one, so that when she shows up to hometowns wearing it, it's a signal to his family that
she's God.
Like been selected by him.
Is he they should kidnapped
run.
Or something? Yeah. If you look at me at the... Can he not speak?
It was really interesting to me because I'm like, well, what would happen if she picked him for hometowns, but he didn't give her the bracelet? Like, if she showed up not wearing the bracelet, would his family be like, you are not the one, be gone?
No, his family would just be super nice, but know that he's making a career move. But right. If he does have the bracelet, it's like, okay, maybe it's also a career move in addition to the engagement.
Like, it's an interesting move.
Yeah, it seems a little, you don't give that much away. Blink five times because you probably can't talk, you know, with your family. So you have to kind of give these signals. I didn't even hear that, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a, anyway,
it's like a charm bracelet.
It looks like a gold bracelet, like a normal kind of bracelet.
Like a tennis bracelet thing.
Okay. Sort of. From what we saw, we didn't get a close up of it really. He was just like holding it when you talked about it. I assume she's going to wear it when she meets his family.
She loses it, and then the family... See, this is so ridiculous. I didn't even hear that. I like that updated country look where it was see-through, poofy.
Yeah.
Off-the-shoulder thing.
I know what you mean.
What do you call those shirts?
The good old see-through poofy.
See, not like poofy. A peasant blouse, but maybe a variation of that.
Greg, you know, the country shirt that girls wear, except she had it in see-through for the sleeves. What do you call that?
Don't look at me.
Oh, my God. Well, you're acting like I'm not describing it.
Oh, and one other fashion moment that we need to point out is that Olu wore a jacket during the rose
ceremony. Oh, yeah, that was cool.
This jacket had a lot going on it. Yikes. It's red, black, and white stripes.
It's a cojones to wear, man.
No, but that's like
so long. It goes like past his butt.
Like a cigarette box. Like he's...
interesting. I mean, part of me, I liked it because it did show... Like, it's like a bold choice. It's not boring.
Red is a good color on him, but he could just go with red.
He could have
that design.
I think the long cut almost made it worse than just the pattern, because the long cut made like his legs look kind of short.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So anyway, he wore like black pants with it and just a black t-shirt, but it was a very bold choice, and we needed to point it out. To salute people making bold fashion choices.
Well, now that's his getting dumped jacket, so.
Yeah, now it's got some feelings attached to it.
Yeah.
Okay, Caitlin, you gotta go.
Yes, I do.
So, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Ride public transit. Follow us on social media.
Tell us what your favorite movie of all time is, and it should be known as the best movie of all time. I still can't think of one. Like, I guess
it happened one night. Isn't that usually the film that?
No. Like, didn't you just hear the top five? No.
I know, but I'm just saying. Like, it just popped into my head earlier that isn't It Happened One Night considered like the greatest film?
No, Citizen Kane.
Well, yeah, that's up there.
It's too. Always Citizen
Kane. All right, I'm leaving.
Okay.
Yeah. Leave. I thought you were gonna leave. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.